The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable, exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union Studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. And by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. You can't spell Haug without the U, the G, and the A. HaugLawGroup.com.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
On a good Tuesday morning to all of you in Dog Nation, welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studio, the heartbeat of Dog Nation, and presented by the Haug Law Group. And we got a lot of things to cover because we got a lot going on. But first things out of the gate, I want to thank Buck Blue, a real DGD, for sitting in for me last week. Took a little time off, spent some time in Newport, Rhode Island last week with former Atlanta Hawks general manager Pete Babcock, who's following the Hawks real closely and really pulling hard for them here. And so glad to see them get that win last night, even that series at 2-2 with the Sixers. But let's turn our attention now to the Bulldogs, and let's talk to one of the guys that covers these Dogs, has been for years, for the premier sports publication in this country for all sports, and that's The Athletic, our very own Seth Emerson. And Seth, good to talk to you, my friend. It has been an interesting time here over the last few weeks with comings and goings in the transfer portal. But when you cut through all of that, it looks to me like the expectations of the national media now have really elevated on the Georgia Bulldogs and Coach Kirby Smart.
Yeah, and it's the proverbial double-edged sword, Chuck, where the narrative is now becoming championship or bust, now or never. They've got to win it this year, or else the invective, the criticism of Kirby Smart will follow from people outside Georgia. But the thing I will answer about that is, well, the person putting together this roster is also Kirby Smart. So this isn't like the NFL or a pro sport where you've got an owner, general manager putting a roster in front of a head coach. You know, Kirby Smart does get credit for putting this roster together, which arguably is the most talented in the country. I think even after Demetrius Robertson left, by my count, there are 20 players who were five-star recruits in high school who are on Georgia's roster. And that's out of 85 scholarship limit. So, I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? And that number doesn't include a Jordan Davis, who obviously is a difference-making guy, who was a three-star. So it doesn't include a James Cook, who's a guy who's a factor, and some of these receivers. So it's an impressive roster, and there will certainly be pressure on Georgia and Kirby Smart this year. But, you know, they're the ones who went out and assembled that roster, so they get credit for that too.
Seth, the guy that sat in this seat last week for me, I have heard say many, many times, Buck Blue, who won a national championship for the Georgia Bulldogs back in 1980, quarterbacking that team. And I've heard him say many, many times, yeah, you know, you can have talent, you can have a number, that you got to have luck too. And that does play a factor in this. Even when we look back, we got some bad breaks against Alabama, you know, just a few years back. So we certainly know that firsthand.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge part of it, is breaks, luck, whatever you want to call it. You know, Georgia has, I think, had more than anybody, it would seem, per capita at a high level in terms of just bad breaks. I mean, we know what happened in the 2017 National Championship game, not just the very end. I mean, that was a playing issue. That wasn't anything, but the game, the game before, leading up to it, all the things that happened during the game in terms of bad officiating. 2018, kind of bad luck that Tua gets hurt and Jalen Hurts comes in, and he's more suited for exploiting Georgia's defense. In 2019, you run into the Joe Burrow buzzsaw. 2020, the Jamie Newman opt-out. If you're Georgia, you look at the George Pickens injury and you say, well, that was your really bad luck part. And maybe the Tyreek Stevenson transfer also. But what you hope is that those happened early enough in the calendar year that there was time to respond. They responded by going out and getting Darian Kendrick and Eric Gilbert, and they, Todd Monken and company, have time to game plan around not having George Pickens. So what you hope is that there isn't anything else coming around the corner, something happening over the summer or just during the season, but you just never know. You can't plan for that.
Seth, let me change topics on you now and talk to you about the NIL. What do you think is happening with this? We're already seeing some indications on social media that some Georgia players may already be involved and benefiting from the name, image, likeness that is now going into effect. And how do you feel about it? And give me your perspective.
Well, Georgia's administration partnered with, I think the name of the company is Altius. So that is like a third party that is going to work with players on ways to monetize in this new era, which, again, we don't know the rules. We don't know the guardrails on this. And really, Chuck, right now, there aren't any. I actually asked Josh Brooks and Jerry Moorhead after the board meeting. It's like, if nothing happens between July 1st, can a JT Daniels, Zamir White just set up a table anywhere, like at a mall or just on campus, and start selling autographs for whatever they can get? And they didn't really have an answer because the law as it's written in Georgia doesn't have any like really restrictions on it. There's no congressional law. The NCAA may have its own restrictions, but they're now superseded by state law and all these state laws. So it's the Wild West right now. And it seems like all states are – what was the one yesterday? It might have been Oregon. I mean, I have trouble keeping track doing what. Like Tennessee may be getting – it's, you know, everyone's kind of catching up saying our schools are going to be – and our athletes are going to be behind the eight ball – competitively if we don't do something, and nothing's happening with Congress at this point. So, look, I mean, is the result of this going to be that athletes are able to make a lot of money that, you know, maybe makes people uncomfortable that have been kind of used to a certain system? Maybe, but if the pendulum swings the other way in the athletes' favor after – basically in the entire history of college sports, athletes being restricted beyond reason from making money off name, image, and likeness, then I think that's okay. I think we'll see if we eventually get any limitations on it. I think you talk to some smart people who say, look, I think the market will set limitations. You know, it's going to – we may need to go through a period here where we let the free market decide who is going to get what and what is right, whether we think that some things are a little bit kind of beyond the realm of what we should be allowing. But yeah.
Call capitalism. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Seth, let me ask you then, Turn to something else here real quick. I got a couple of minutes left with you, and that is, how close are we to a 12-team playoff? And that'll be more money for the schools.
That'll be more money, and I mean, obviously it's going to happen. I'd be shocked if this working group that has been working in secret for 2 years, as it turns out, more than 2 years, unveils this proposal for a 12-team playoff. I mean, I'd be shocked if it doesn't happen. It's just a matter of when. Will they do it as soon as 2023? Will they wait until 2025, 2026? It's interesting to me that the SEC is, and Greg Sankey obviously was in the middle of it. He was a member of this very exclusive working group. I think it was four people, and he was one of them. The SEC's attitude has always been playoff, like, yeah, sure. Expand it, go from 2 to 4, sure. 4 to 8, sure. 8 to 12, sure. Because they're just so confident in how many teams they're going to be able to get in it. And I think 12 is a win-win for a lot of people. It's a win-win for the SEC because you not only can get two teams, then you can get three, and maybe in a really strong year you can get four in a 12-team playoff. It helps a group of five team like a Cincinnati last year, even a Coastal Carolina type. They get their shot if they run the table. But it's going to help the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12 even start to maybe try and catch up to the SEC, as in maybe get a second team in here or a third team in, and these teams get to use playoff appearances to improve their brand. And I do, as much as we crow about how strong the SEC is, it's better for the SEC when everybody in the nation is going well. When you're arguing with people on the West Coast about whether your brand of football is better than them, when you're arguing with Ohio State people and Michigan people, you know, it's better. And I think Greg Sankey realizes that, and that's why the SEC is favored this.
You are absolutely right, Seth. It is so much better for all of college football when all five of these Power Five conferences are strong and have a reasonable chance to be represented in a playoff or even in a semifinals or finals.
In the season. Like when you get too many people were dropping interest in October and November because they were out of consideration for the 4-team playoff. It's like the NCAA tournament in basketball. Yeah. When you're on the bubble, people are interested.
Seth, I can't thank you enough, my friend, for your time this morning. Seth Emerson of The Athletic here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk some recruiting. That's next. Stay with us.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan. This is Bulldog Roundtable.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
With Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Butzmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
It never stops. It never sleeps. We're talking about recruiting, of course, and Matt DeBerry, who covers recruiting for thedogpost.com. Matt, good morning, and bring us up to date here. We've had a couple of decommitments that got everybody all lathered up. And where do the Dogs stand in their recruiting right now? And, you know, we were riding such a high wave, and then a couple of decommitments, and suddenly everybody crashes.
Yeah, I think Georgia still has some momentum on the recruiting trail. They did lose a couple big-time commitments, like you said. One of them, Bear Alexander, five-star defensive lineman. He's from the state of Texas. I always said that Georgia was going to have to recruit him like he was uncommitted, one of the best players in the country. And Deion Bowie, a South Georgia kid down in Bainbridge, one of the top athletes in the entire country, he took a visit to Texas A&M as well, decided to reopen his recruitment. But at the end of the day, it's still a big month for the Georgia Bulldogs. They hosted a number of official visitors that first weekend of June, and have plenty more coming back this weekend as well. Lots of out-of-state visitors, multiple five-stars, including Shamar Stewart, a five-star defensive end who is on campus right now. So they may have had a couple of decommitments, but I do think that Kirby Smart is going to have a big month of June. We might not see it immediately, but down the road, these visits happening right now are going to be a big deal as it relates to how this 22 class is going to turn out.
Obviously, the Dogs with that beautiful, shiny new toy to show off in that that weight room, that workout facility, that new football complex. What are you hearing from recruits about their impressions?
Oh, I'm hearing it's the best facility they've ever seen. I've heard from multiple recruits who, they've told me, we can see why it cost $80 million. They've got the barber shop. They've got the restaurants. The recovery room is something I've heard the most about. These guys are really excited to know that, hey, if they get dinged up here and there, that they've got, a full facility to help them get back to 100%. So everyone is talking about it. It is one of the bigger deals that these kids get to see on campus, and they've been working on it for a long time now, and it is one of the best facilities in all of college football, and these kids are absolutely loving it, Chuck.
Well, if you're going to rank facilities up and high on the list of attractive things to lure recruits, Georgia certainly fills that bill. Another thing, though, that's so important is when you have guys in a class that are also helping recruit, because these kids all love to go play with each other. When they go to these camps, they make friendships, and they see guys with talent. And I keep hearing the name Gunnar Stockton helping in that area. Is that true?
Absolutely. We saw it last year with Brock Vandegrift. Every time you get a five-star quarterback from the state of Georgia, they're going to go out and try to get the best in-state to come play with them. And Gunnar Stockton is no different. He took his official visit to Georgia that first weekend of June and had a lot of his top targets there with him. Kojo Ansui, a four-star wide receiver from Lambert High School, was there. Oscar Delp, four-star tight end from West Forsyth, was there with him. And Denylon Morset, a four-star wide receiver at North Cobb, he's another guy, Chuck, who has been in everyone's ear about joining the Bulldogs, telling these guys to stay home, play for the in-state program. And I think it's doing, they're doing a great job so far. But Gunner, definitely a guy who's been in everyone's ear, and a lot of guys want to play with Gunner. He's been a recruit that people have been talking about for years now. He decided to stay home, and he definitely has his recruiting hat on.
I think Kirby Smart's one of the best in the business, if not the best in the business, at roster management. But can you tell, looking at who he's targeting, what he feels the Dogs' needs are going forward?
Absolutely. Especially in the secondary. He has one guy on board right now, Marquise Groves, Killebrew, four-star cornerback prospect, and Malachi Starks, one of the best overall athletes in the country. They're going to put him at safety. But I do think that he definitely has an eye on the secondary, which is what he coaches, and he's trying to bring in a lot of the best ones. As I said earlier, they did lose a commitment from Dion Bowie, but it wouldn't surprised me at all if they circled back around and were able to get him on board. But I definitely think they're trying to load up on defense in this class, and specifically in the secondary.
Obviously defense is something that's near and dear to Kirby's heart. But for a while here, we were hearing in the SEC, boy, you got to have offense to win. You got to have offense to win. And it looked like that was the way things are going. Is that pendulum swinging back?
I think so, maybe a little bit. At the end of the day, you've got to build a defense that can stop these high-powered offenses that we're seeing over and over and over again. And I think we're going into an era of college football where who can get the most stops? Everyone's going to be able to score a little bit, but you've got to have defenders who can get after the quarterback and guys in the secondary who can cover some of these, explosive elite receivers on the outside. So as we're seeing a more pass-happy offense around college football, I think Kirby's still, saying, hey, we still need a defense, one of the best defenses, to stop these guys if we want to win a national championship.
Well, obviously a lot of important visits, headed the Dogs' way. And, I know you'll stay on top of it. But, Matt, we always appreciate you taking time to be with us and share with us your thoughts here on how the Dogs stand. And just before I do let you go, how do they stand nationally in recruiting right now for 2022?
Well, they've got, I believe, 10 commitments right now. And at the end of the day, June is big, but we saw with Tennessee last year, they were picking up a commitment just about every day in June. We saw how that turned out. But Kirby Smart and his staff are one of the best at closing when it matters most, right before signing day. I expect him to sign another top five, probably top three class, if they continue to trend in the right way with some of their uncommitted targets out there.
Great. Thank you so much. Matt DeBerry covers recruiting for DogPost.com. We appreciate your time this morning, Matt. We're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to turn our attention to golf, and the U.S. Open gets underway on Thursday. That's next.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
Hi, this is Vince Dooley, and you're listening to the Georgia Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan. Now on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you, Coach, and welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. And as I mentioned, the U.S. Open coming up on Thursday. Torrey Pines out in San Diego. And we're joined now by the legendary University of Georgia golf coach, Chris Hack. And, Coach, as always, there'll be Bulldogs all over that course on Thursday.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a point of pride knowing that we've got more guys out there than anybody. You know, with eight guys playing. So hopefully we can get one of them to the winner's circle.
How is that course? How is it going to play for a U.S. Open?
It'll be hard. It's going to be really long. The rough will be very deep and thick. And the greens will be with Poana, probably nice and bumpy in the afternoons. But it'll be a hard test of golf because they've added so much length to that golf course over the years. It's already hard. But when the USGA puts that rough in there and rough, narrows those fairways, it gets really hard.
Yeah. Is this one of those tournaments where you got to take your medicine?
Absolutely. If you get in there, you're probably trying to wedge it or nine iron it out to a good distance. Because if it's anything like it was the last time they played it there, it'll be equally as tough.
Give me some Bulldogs that you think could play well on this course.
Well, if Bubba drives it straight, obviously he's got the length. You know, Harris is playing really well right now. And then the guys who actually hit it pretty straight, you know, Kisner and Brendan Todd, you know, if they can hit fairways, they'll have a chance because they've chip and putt it so well. But, you know, it's going to come down to whoever's hitting fairways and hitting greens and making a lot of pars.
Also, I got to ask you about Phil Mickelson. I mean, his miseries at U.S. Opens are well documented, but we've seen Phil playing better lately. Do you think he's got a shot?
Well, I'm sure he thinks he has a shot after what he did at Kiowa. And it's a golf course he is very, very familiar with, having grown up in San Diego. So he's probably going to have a huge contingent of fans that they're pulling for him. And, you know, I would imagine there will be a lot of people around the world pulling for him because that would be an unbelievable story if he could pull that off.
Well, now, would you be sitting in front of your TV just watching closely, or would you go out there?
No, I'll be in front of the TV watching closely. You know, ever since I broke my ankle, it's hard for me to do a whole lot of walking. So I'd much rather be in front of the TV watching and cheering them on and being able to see a lot more golf.
And I know that with so many dogs in it, how has that helped you with recruiting, with to have so many players on tour, not only just playing on tour? I'm talking about guys that are – finishing on the high on the leaderboard and cashing big checks.
Well, I don't think it ever hurts you because I do get plenty of emails and plenty of people, kids who see that and understand that. But really, up until the pandemic, there were a lot of kids and parents who really didn't even follow that and know that. But I think the pandemic kind of helped usher that in, because what you find out is a lot of these kids don't watch a lot of professional golf, not as much as you would think they do, but it certainly doesn't hurt. And having our name get splashed around out there all the time, you know, again, any publicity is good publicity.
And you've got some really young, talented players that were on this year's team. These are guys that are going to take that next step. And these are guys that will also have a chance to win some titles, don't you think? I mean, particularly Davis Thompson. And that guy is as talented as any kid we've had come through in a while.
No, I've been very happy with you know, the team we had last year. I thought we had a chance if we could get it going a little bit, had a chance to go a long way. But Davis has already shown with his debut in the professional ranks this past week at the Canadian Open or whatever they called that event. I'm not even sure. But, you know, made the cut and made his first check. And then you got Spencer Ralston qualifying for the Open and will be out in Torrey Pines making his professional debut. And no, and right now the guys that are returning, I've got some good young players who I think we've got seven who are going to be freshmen and sophomore next year, but all very talented kids. And one of them was Nick Cassidy, who just finished second at the Dogwood Amateur over at Druid Hills, which was a big event. So, you know, I think the future's still bright.
Well, that's great, Chris. I mean, it really is. And I mean, you've been overseeing this for a while now, and it's got to be just a real point of pride to you every time you see one of these young men step out from your program and then fulfill their dreams. I can't imagine anything that would make a coach feel any better than that.
Well, it certainly gives me something to watch on the weekends for sure, because it seems like every week it's somebody different, you know, and somebody else is up there, and we're able to watch it and cheer them on and so forth. So it does make it a lot more fun for me to see what they're doing. And in my wildest dreams, I would have never thought they would be doing exactly what they're doing. But man, they do make the Bulldog Nation very proud. And I hear it everywhere I go about how much they enjoy seeing our guys up there.
Well, Torrey Pines is the site this week, starting on Thursday. And believe me, I know all of us that bleed the red and black will be cheering for all those dogs out there starting Thursday. We just love seeing them on that leaderboard. And by the way, you'll love this. I got a buddy of mine who was back in my era at the University of Georgia, happened to send me a shot of the screen, a screenshot of the TV at the 1977 U.S. Open first round leaders, and at the top of it was a former UGA player and a guy that was captain of the golf team, Terry Deal. So when that U.S. Open rolls around, Terry always taking note, and I had to kind of chuckle at that, but he sent it to me the other day, and I love seeing it.
Great.
Yeah, always great to have dogs at the top of that leaderboard at the U.S. Open. Chris Hack,
absolutely. It's such a fun event to watch anyway. You might as well have a Bulldog in contention.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. Coach Chris Hack with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable, and the U.S. Open again getting away on Thursday. Our thanks also to Seth Emberson and Matt DeBerry for being with us here. And to all of you in Dog Nation, thank you so much. Stay tuned now for Home Team in Hamilton. They're next here on 680 The Fan. And let's have a great Bulldog Day, everybody.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.